Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Lions Club podcast. This is going to coincide with Diabetes Awareness, which is upon us now. World Diabetes Day is on November 14th, and Lions Club are, in fact, Lions Club globally, have this as a signature project, and we'll be rolling out different events and various awareness programs throughout the globe. For us here in Ireland, in District 1CC, we sat down with Frank O'Donoghue, PDG, and Áine McCabe from McCabe's Pharmacies to talk everything diabetes. Hope you enjoy the program. So we're joined now by Frank O'Donoghue, previous chair of Lions Ireland, and Áine McCabe, who's pharmacist and owner of McCabe's Pharmacy. So welcome to both of you to the Lions Club podcast.
Thank you very much, John.
So I hope everybody's keeping well. Thanks, Áine. I hope everybody's keeping well. Obviously, we're in tough times and strange times. So this week's podcast is about diabetes and specifically around diabetes awareness. World Diabetes Day is actually the 14th of November, which is just a couple of weeks ago. And within our communities, we are trying to raise awareness of diabetes. So what I would like to do is, first of all, to give us some background. Frank, if you maybe could take us through what the Lions Club in Ireland is all about, and maybe just a little bit of the history within the country itself.
Thank you, John. I'm going to go a little bit wider than that, if I may. Lions is an international organization. We're around for just over 100 years, and our proud claim is that we're the largest service organization in the world. We're a very inclusive organization. We're men, women, we're all religions, but we're not one specific religion. And our commitment is to service, that wherever we see a need, that we try to do something about it. And typically that's in our community. So whether it's Ashburn, Malahide, wherever we can identify something that we can do, we're going to try and do it. We're in some 200 countries worldwide, and there's about 1.4 million Lions. So we, as an organization, do a lot of different things all around the world. But in the last couple of years, the organization has decided to focus on diabetes as a major signature project for the whole organization going forward. And that's because of the rapid growth of diabetes, and in particular diabetes 2, because so much can be done to either delay or prevent diabetes 2 happening by changing our lifestyles, increasing the amount of exercise we do, and changing our diet. So Lions in Ireland, Lions all around the world have come together to kind of pursue this. And one of the reasons is diabetes is the eighth largest killer in the world, eighth largest cause of deaths worldwide. And it affects developed countries. It also affects poor, undeveloped countries, much the same. It is indiscriminate in terms of killing people. So we're focusing on that and we're launching it. And actually, next weekend, we have World Diabetes Day on the 14th of November. And worldwide, Lions are going to be making some noise about it. So this podcast is just part of a program of activity all around Ireland and also internationally, where we want to say, you know, really bring to people's attention diabetes and what's happening.
Thanks for that, Frank. I know Lions Club have been involved with diabetes for a number of years, and I do know that one of the I suppose one of the biggest projects took place at the World Ploughing Championships. Do you want to talk a little about the way the testing has changed from where we did used to do a pinprick to now, an online testing or a risk assessment?
Yes, John. I mean, Lions in Ireland have been engaged for more than 25 years in carrying out a diabetes awareness program, very different to what we're planning in the future. And it had a very kind of limited focus, which was really offering people a test on the day, the test of the blood sugar level. So there was a pinprick, and then we were able, using the technology available, to give an almost instant reading back. And we would use a team of doctors who were either members of the Lions Club or friends, doctors, nurses, pharmacists, dentists, anybody who had the appropriate skill to take the pinprick and the insurance that went with it, because anytime you kind of break skin, you need to be careful. So the biggest one that we carried out was 3 days for the ploughing down in Carlow. And 1 year we got as high as kind of doing something just shy of 9,000 people over the 3 days who had an assessment carried out with a pinprick, and they were told what the result was. And one of the complications is ideally that should have been taken by people fasting. So whoever was giving the feedback on what the result was would take into account the fact that people may have just had a meal, may not have had a meal, and they would have asked those questions to try and calibrate how to understand the reading. But if we felt there was a real risk factor and that somebody was in a medium or high risk, we would encourage them to go to their doctor afterwards. And in some cases, we've actually directed people almost immediately to go to hospital because they were in such a serious kind of condition. But we for some 25 years, we were at the ploughing. But we also do it at a much smaller scale in city centres, also in local shopping centres, where there are people that we can kind of go and offer this service within a community. We're not doing that anymore. The whole thinking within the expert bodies in diabetes is that it's much more important than to give people a one-shot view of how they were at that point in time and accepting the fact that they may not be fasting at that time. So there's always, it can be a bit of a false reading. So there's an uncertainty about that reading. The worst thing is, though, that we may say to somebody that on that day that they had a good reading, but maybe their lifestyle wasn't very good, that they weren't doing much exercise, they were overweight and they weren't eating a good diet. And the whole thinking now has come from the experts in this area, people like Diabetes Ireland, to say, look, we really want to focus on communicating to people what are the risks and how can you go about addressing it. And that's where we're going in the future.
Yeah, what jumps out at me there, Frank, is the silent nature of diabetes, you know. And certainly there's been plenty of examples of people who are not aware. And lucky enough, if you find out in time, you can do something about it. And I guess with that in mind, I'll switch over to Áine. Hi, Áine. Diabetes itself, can you give us a summary of what it is?
Yeah, so just even to follow on with the figures there, currently in Ireland today, they estimate there's almost 250,000 people living with diabetes. That's confirmed diagnosed people, and that's a mixture between type 1 and type 2. So that's almost 7% of the population is confirmed with diabetes. They reckon in another 10 years, that figure will have risen by another 50,000. So I think that's shocking. They now estimate almost 1.1 million adults in Ireland from the age of 30 up don't take enough regular exercise, are overweight, and need to make some drastic daily behaviour changes in terms of how they eat and how active they are to prevent themselves from becoming a type 2 diabetic. So diabetes, it's a long-term condition. It's a lifelong condition. And it's caused by a lack or an inefficiency of insulin use in your body. So insulin is a hormone that your pancreas makes. It's responsible, essentially like a key, opening up the doors to let sugar into your cells. And by doing that, your cells then convert that into energy and you burn it off when you're exercising and all the rest. When you don't have sufficient amount of insulin, either you don't have any at all, which is generally type 1 diabetes, or your body's not using it very efficiently, type 2 diabetes. the sugar builds up in your bloodstream, and that's what we call high blood sugar levels or glucose levels. So in diabetes, most things are always referred to as your glucose levels. That's your blood sugar measurement, quite simply. And when blood sugar is allowed build up in the body, then it can have devastating effects on overall health and your different body organs. So just to go back on the different types, it's type 1, type 2. Generally, type 1 diabetics have been born with it, or it's hereditary, or they've had some sort of major shock to the system, like through a viral infection, something like that. And that can kind of occur at any age. But most type 1 diabetics will have been like that from a very young age. Then type 2 is certainly a lot more lifestyle related. Now, it can be caused by a combination of things. It can be in the genes. It can just be bad family history luck. But most commonly, and why we're seeing such a rise in it, it's quite a prominent cause has been overweight, especially around the middle. So that's what we call the visceral fat, you know, that squeeze an inch kind of thing.
Yeah.
You already have high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So heart health is so critical in this. Any symptoms of poor cardiovascular disease, so poor heart condition, be it in your blood pressure or your cholesterol, which is obviously the thickening of plaque in your blood vessels, they can all increase your chances of developing diabetes quite dramatically. On top of that, if you get little or no exercise, if you smoke, if you have quite a stressful life, sleeping too much, too little, they all add in.
Wow, okay.
Type 2 is very often reversible through diet and exercise, and that's a really key message that the Lions are trying to get out, to raise that awareness that it's, because as a pharmacist, I see so many people come in and they think it's a life sentence. And when, yeah, you know, everyone hates, oh, I took no tablets and now I'm taking 6. But when I tell them and explain, you know, this can all be reversed, their faces light up and they actually come on a mission. And I think they wish they'd been told this years ago, that actually I could have prevented this, or certainly not allowed it to get this far this quick. So I think once people are motivated and educated, it'll help.
Yeah.
Sorry
for cutting across you. I was going to say, so type 2 can be reversed in some cases by change,
yes,
of obviously change of diet, change of,
yes,
physical activity and so on.
So if you lose 7 to 10% of your body weight,
mm-hmm,
you can cut your risk of diabetes by 50%.
Crikey.
Massive. Absolutely,
yeah,
massive. Getting more active. So when I explained earlier, your body cells use the insulin to convert into energy, which then you burn off when you're walking or anything that kind of increases your heart rate to a steady pump. That can reduce your risk by like 30%. Eating right. So there's no set diabetic diet, but there's certainly things you should avoid and other things you should severely limit. And the obvious one then is smoking. So if anybody who's been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes has any of those factors, overweight, not active, poor diet and smoking, if they targeted each one of them, even one of them alone, reduces the risk quite significantly.
Well, I think that's good news, and that's a good message to share with people, that it is, I guess the word is manageable, type 2. And
yeah,
what about, again, some of the obvious questions would be alcohol and its effect on type 2 diabetes.
So if you go back to the weight, and where I mentioned about that middle fat, the visceral,
yeah,
fat, that's the weight around your tummy, that is primarily alcohol.
Okay.
So all that middle fat is, and it's usually the hardest one to break down, but if alcohol is cut completely from the diet, that's usually one of the first to go. So the visceral fat is generally associated with alcohol.
So the
bad
beer
news
belly
for a lot of
is,
us. The beer belly is literally a beer
it
belly.
It is literally that. Oh, God.
Yeah. So indirectly, alcohol reduction will have a massive impact on reducing your risk. Again, everything in moderation. I hate to tell people you have to stop this, and this. Just limit it and be aware of how often you've had it. I've already had 2 nights of drinking tonight. I'm not going to have any more this week. Doesn't mean you can't ever drink again or you can't enjoy a sweet again. But just bear in mind how often you're having it and how much you're having each time.
Okay. Sorry, Frank, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, I suppose the point I want to make really is the fact that we can do, that there's so much can be done to avoid, prevent, or turn back on diabetes by, as Anya was saying, changing our diet, looking at our weight. I mean, and some of those numbers are just so powerful. It really is in our hands to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to get to the point of ease. And that really is at the heart of our message, that we want people to know about this. And the sad reality is that our modern lifestyle, we almost sleepwalk into this condition, but it is avoidable. So we want to kind of put a spotlight on it and say to people, be aware, and you don't have to go there. And so this is the whole emphasis of what we're about, not just in Ireland, but worldwide, in putting a spotlight on diabetes. And as you said earlier, one of the insidious things about this is it really has, you've got to be a long way down in terms of deterioration before you get any symptoms. It really is a silent disease that before any of these symptoms begin to show. So
true.
It's important to get checked. So regular blood checks, particularly over the age of 40, every year, is the way I think we're encouraging people to go.
Okay. Yeah. And just on that, Anya, does it affect young people? I suppose I'm talking about type 2 really here, because I think what you said was type 1 could be there from birth as such.
Yeah, it's not an acquired lifestyle diabetes. You know, it's very much literally in the genes, and it's not something you could ever prevent really getting as type 1. So all of this will be really in relation to type 2 and the lifestyle factors in it. So like you mentioned, the silent symptoms might be a good time just to run through some of them.
Yes, please.
And for people, they don't necessarily need to have all these symptoms, but one or more should certainly prompt you to be thinking about getting a glucose test done. And that can be done with your GP or your pharmacy. They're all very accessible. And like you said, silent, because most people will brush them off, you know, so being very thirsty, oh, it's hot, I had the air conditioning on, or I've been running around, being thirsty, but also needing to urinate a lot. So if you're thirsty, that means your body's craving water. But if your body's craving that water, but you're also passing it out, that's not right, you know. So if you find you're drinking a lot, but you're also going to the toilet a lot, that's something to really bear in mind that you need to look at. Changes in your vision. Some people might pass it off. Oh, and I must need an eyesight test review. I must get new lenses. Or, you know, they pass it off with age. It's just getting older. But blurry vision is a symptom of diabetes. Again, it's down to how it's affecting your blood vessels. So getting regular eye exams, particularly if you do already wear glasses, just so you know you're not ruling it out as, oh, I'm just getting older, or these lenses are dirty, or, you know, anything like that. Being irritable, that's most of us, at least once a week, I'm sure, if we're honest. Again, that's due to the fluctuations of your blood sugars. Tingling or numbness in the hands and feet. Again, I often find that's something people pass on with age. You know, they brush it off as an age issue. But that's due to the circulation issues that arise in diabetes, that you can start to lose sensation at the tips of fingers and toes, feeling worn out all the time. If you imagine the cells aren't taking in the insulin to convert it into energy, so you're literally walking around with no energy. And that way it's very hard to be motivated then to get out and exercise, to follow a proper diet, to do all the things you need to do to help yourself prevent diabetes from developing. one or two things that definitely people wouldn't associate with diabetes are yeast infections. So that's usually like oral thrush, things that, you know, out of the blue for no reason, you're getting that. That's a breakdown in the system that can be a sign of diabetes, or wounds that don't heal. Again, you pass it off, or just I'm poor at healing. But if you had a cut that took particularly long time to heal up, again, that's down to circulation and the blood supply to the area. And that's another sign. So any one of them, there's a lot of things there. So it's no wonder people can just go for a once a year checkup and realize all of a sudden they've become diabetic, or they're pre-diabetic, or things like that. So it's important to keep an eye on your own body and knowing what's normal and what's not. And that comes down to your blood measurements as well. So knowing your blood pressure, knowing what your blood sugars are and your cholesterol, and your body mass, your BMI, to know your weight. They're really important numbers to know.
Is it possible, it probably isn't, but is it possible to sort of give a general overview of what numbers you should be looking at?
Yeah,
for example, absolutely. Like your blood pressure. I was going to say, even people who are on who know that they are diabetic, what's their range?
Right, so that's a very good point. Just taking blood pressure, the standard blood pressure for most people, the ideal level is 120 over 80 or less.
Okay.
But diabetics will always have a tighter range. So your doctor will want to see you at around 120 over 70, say, as opposed to 80 as your baseline. And okay. Then your cholesterol levels, where the general population, you'll want to have your total cholesterol at less than 5. Diabetics could be asked to have it at less than 4.5.
Lower.
Your body mass index, 25 to 30, they could want you to be down like 23 to 24. And that's all about, because combined, all those risk factors can have huge implications on the next body organ. So they'll always generally set a lower target for people who've got higher risk. So if you've got heart, blood pressure, you've got cholesterol, you've high blood sugars, you're overweight, they'll be making you work a bit harder to reduce it down, basically. But once you know that, it's all very manageable, and you can make a plan to go with that.
And a medication for a type 2 diabetic, I guess, is a tablet a day or a couple of tablets a day?
Yeah, there's lots. So generally most people will start with one tablet called metformin. It's a very basic, general entry-level drug. It's often very effective for most people. Again, if you combine it with changes to your lifestyle, and if that stops working or it's not enough, they'll introduce another and another and another. I'd often see people with maybe 4 or 5 different tablets for their diabetes, trying to target different areas. And interestingly, now in the past, insulin, injectable insulin, was reserved for type 1 diabetics. But now it's being used for type 2 because they've seen the benefit of starting injectable insulins sooner in the population.
Okay.
That's something to consider too, that, you know, you could be injecting yourself for the rest of your life too, where you can avoid it by taking the lifestyle changes, or certainly helping yourself. And the worst case scenario, you end up on medication for life, perhaps 1 or 2 as opposed to 5 or 6.
Okay, it's food for thought, isn't it? You know, I guess we don't want to scare people out there.
Don't scare people, I don't know.
I suppose that brings us around to, and Frank, I don't know if you want to take this, what we can do as a Lions Club that's practical. And I'm thinking about the assessment that we're going to ask people to take in the run-up to World Diabetes Day.
So Lions Worldwide, kind of as a way of putting a spotlight on diabetes as part of diabetes being our signature project, have set a target of getting 1 million people worldwide to do a diabetes assessment. And in Ireland, we're going to be part of that, and we have our own internal target that we want to hit as our contribution to that. And if I was in Ashburn, for instance, I would see posters around that there's a QR code that I'm being invited to scan that'll bring me into an awareness risk assessment tool that Diabetes Ireland has. But there are other ways of getting into the same tool either. It's possible to go in through their website. And the purpose of this risk assessment tool is it actually picks out some of the factors that Áine has already spoken about. You're asked about your age. And one of the facts is as you get older, your risks increase. You're asked about your weight. You're asked about your level of activity, your body mass index. You're given a calculator that will calculate what that is. But these are all the risk factors. And also whether you've got blood pressure or cholesterol, and that's all factored in. And as you answer these, this is totally confidential, so everybody doing it is unique. But by going down through the end, it then puts you into three categories. You're either low risk, medium risk, or high risk. You could be very high risk. So it's taking into account all the factors that have to do with you and your lifestyle, and then putting a measure on that and telling you what the level of risk is. If you're at a high level of risk, well, then you're strongly urged to go and actually get a blood test taken by the doctor, fasting, to actually find out what is your blood sugar level at that point. If you are a low risk, well, then you're really encouraged to continue with the lifestyle that you have. And then if you're in the medium, you're going to kind of, you'll get advice as to which way you should go. But basically, it's telling you to kind of continue the way you're doing your lifestyle. But maybe there's some areas that you get clues as to what you might do to improve. But this is only part of where we're going. So we're getting people to fill in this assessment. As I said, it's totally confidential. And then after Christmas, we're starting a campaign focused on increasing the availability locally of activities that people can engage in, whether it's walking groups, exercise groups, whatever it is, all ages, likewise helping with food, diet, putting a focus on that, and basically trying to kind of ensure that all of us at all ages have a much healthier lifestyle. And that's where we're going. So the first part, we're just putting in kind of a focus on awareness. And after that, we're going on the next bit, which is how do we address this to avoid this becoming an issue for us? And this is part of our contribution in Ireland.
That sounds fantastic, Frank, you know. And as a man
just
who...
Just to say that's... the questionnaire, its simplicity is just brilliant. It's very straightforward, and it does give you very good, insightful information at the end.
Yeah, and it does. It only takes a couple of minutes, you know, so it's very, very easy to do. I was going to say, as a man who was very fit and outdoorsy up until he was about 50, and now not quite so, does that, just before we go, does that sort of thing put you into a higher risk, would you think, Áine? So somebody who'd been active all their life and then maybe had dropped off for whatever reason for the last 4 or 5 years?
If your exercise level has gone down and your weight has gone up,
yeah,
definitely no different than it would have been if 30-year-old in the same situation. Big factors are your existing heart health. So back in your 30s, your heart health probably wasn't any concern. As you get older, your heart health, you know, with good lifestyle or not, does deteriorate with age. So adding that in with increase in weight and reduction in exercise, it all adds up. It's preventable. reversible.
And I think that's it. That's the positive message, isn't it? That, you know, get out there, have a walk, if it's 20, 30 minutes a night. Eat as healthily as you can. Please take the test. And if necessary, don't be afraid. Go and get your bloods tested. This is all preventable, manageable.
Yeah, very much.
Okay, well, I think we'll wrap it up for there. So I want to thank Frank And I want to thank you, Anya, and thanks very much for giving up your time. This will be, I'm sure this will be very worthwhile. And again, thank you very much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you very much, John.
Thanks so much. Thanks
for me. Thank you.
Thank you.